Good morning. I'm here to present Veracity, Practical Secure Network Coordinates via vote-based agreements. This is joint work with Matt Blaze and Boon Thalu, and we're all at the University of Pennsylvania. So we saw a little bit in the last talk about network coordinate systems. I'm going to talk about how to secure those systems from manipulation. So briefly, network coordinate systems enable the efficient network distance estimations without requiring nodes to conduct pairwise measurements. And the way these systems work is that they assign each node an n-dimensional coordinate such that if you take the Euclidean distance between any two nodes' coordinates, you can estimate their latency or their round-trip time between them. There are several applications for network coordinate systems which make them important. For example, proximity-based routing uses them a lot, neighbor selection and overlays, network aware overlays, replica placement, anonymous path selection, which is the topic of my thesis work, detour routing, and as we saw in the census work, also for membership applications. These systems aren't necessarily just academic. They are deployed in practice. So, for example, the VU's BitTorrent client, which I believe was previously called Azarius, although I may be mispronouncing that, actually operates a virtual coordinate system with about 1 million nodes, and that's currently running. And they use this system for efficient DHT traversal for BitTorrent reasons. So, unfortunately, these systems tend to be very vulnerable to attack. So, for example, on the left you see a plot of a bunch of nodes from the King pairwise latency data set after they've been assigned coordinates using the Vivaldi coordinate system. I don't know if you can read the axes, but they're essentially each point on the graph plots the x and y coordinate. So here we're just using two-dimensional coordinates because I couldn't figure out how to plot five-dimensional coordinates in GNU plot. But what we see is that when all nodes are behaving honestly, you'd end up having some partition of nodes in the network. So you may find that the ones on top maybe belong to the East Coast, the ones in the middle might belong to the West Coast, and the ones at the bottom maybe Europe. Unfortunately, these systems tend to be very vulnerable to manipulation. So when you have just a small fraction of malicious nodes in your network, the amount of error in the system vastly increases. So in particular, depending on the parameters of the attack, when a tenth of your network is malicious, the inaccuracy in the system may rise by a factor of five and by a factor of 11 when nearly a third of the network is malicious. So the system that we've designed is called Veracity, and what this does is it protects the truthfulness of advertised network coordinates. And we built this to be a security protection layer. It's not a new coordinate system. It's actually a layer on top of existing coordinate systems. So we tried to make this impose as few requirements as possible. We wanted the system to scale to internet scale, so we wanted it to be lightweight, requiring no fixed infrastructure. We didn't want any a priori trust in the system. In other words, we're not relying on pre-shared secrets or PKIs or certificate authorities, and that's important if you're for a really fully distributed system. We wanted the system to be amenable to realistic network conditions. For example, in peer-to-peer systems, you may have a lot of churn. Nodes may be coming on and offline frequently, and we wanted our system to handle that. So the intuition behind Veracity is that the truthfulness of a coordinate can be accurately assessed by independent peers on the network, and these peers have different vantage points, which makes their ability to assess a coordinate more fruitful. So we are by no means the first, this is by no means the first work that attempts to secure virtual coordinate systems. There are others that aren't listed here as well. But briefly, let me describe kind of the column headers here. So some existing work, for example, PIC is an example, detects malicious behavior in coordinate systems by detecting triangle inequality violations. Unfortunately, while that system may work a lot of the time, it doesn't always work because triangle inequality violations actually do exist on the internet, and in fact, they've been found to be quite prevalent. So we didn't want to make that assumption. Our work is fully distributed, so there's really great work out there that assumes that a small percentage of the network, let's say 10% or 8% of the network, is trusted a priori. And the problem with that is if you're scaling to 100,000 nodes, 8% means that each node has to trust 8,000 nodes a priori, which could be quite difficult to maintain. There's also work that requires static neighbor sets, so there's only a small each node or each peer maintains a small set of neighbors of which it exchanges coordinates. The problem with that approach is in peer-to-peer systems, which is our target audience, nodes and peers come on and offline frequently. So we wanted the ability to support dynamic neighbor sets. And similarly in that vein, we don't make any assumptions about temporal or spatial locality, which allows our system to handle churn more easily. So let's briefly review how coordinate systems work. And again, that there are many flavors of this. I'm going to base my description on Vivaldi since it tends to be the most studied. So the way these systems tend to work is they use an iterative update mechanism where a node, let's say Alice here, retrieves the coordinate of a random neighbor, we'll call him Bob, and it measures a metric, typically latency, between them. So here, Alice may determine that there's a 13 millisecond latency between herself and Bob. And you might notice that Alice's coordinate, if you take the Euclidean distance, is only 11. So what she'll do is she'll decide that her coordinate is actually too close, and she'll move herself back. She may not move herself back to negative 7, because the system won't necessarily converge. So there's typically some error function which the system attempts to minimize. And again, this is a fully distributed system. It doesn't require any fixed infrastructure. And this iterative update mechanism continues on each node in the background indefinitely. Even after the system stabilizes, there tends to be some error in the system, some embedding error. And that's due to network triangle inequality violations on the internet. The reason there is that you can't embed triangle inequality violations in a Euclidean geometric space. So it turns out that these virtual coordinate systems are quite easy to attack. The typical attack is called a disorder attack, where nodes just try to cause inaccuracy of the coordinate system. And there are two ways to do that. First, they could provide false coordinates whenever asked. They could just, when probed for their coordinate, a node could just make something up. Or since these systems require nodes to make measurements to their peers, they could delay measurement responses. For example, they could hold off on sending a ping echo for some time. So why do we care about these attacks? Well, again, like I just described earlier, coordinate systems are used in a number of distributed applications. For example, for specific targeted attacks against coordinate systems, malicious users may be able to cause their hosts under their control to be selected for routes, neighbors, or replicas. They could cause requests to be misrouted, false data returned in content distribution networks, or they could cause partitioning in a distributed hash table. And this is by no means a comprehensive enumeration of possible implications of a compromised coordinate system. So the system that we're introducing today is called Veracity. And again, Veracity is a security layer that protects the accuracy of the underlying coordinate system. I'm going to introduce two participants in Veracity, the publisher, which is any node that advertises its coordinate. And it may or may not be truthful. It may provide a false coordinate, or it may delay some measurement probes. The second party is the investigator. And the investigator wants to use the publisher's coordinate to update its own local coordinate. And again, any node at one point does act as a publisher, because every node publishes its own coordinate. And it also acts as an investigator, because it needs to get other nodes' coordinates as well to update its own coordinate. We use a node discovery service. We, again, are aiming our system to be fully distributed. So we use a fully distributed directory service. Perhaps we may be able to use Census. I'm not sure. But we've built our system currently to use DHTs, or distributed hash tables. But the only requirement that we make in our system is that the directory service be able to support a single API call. And that API call is called deliver. And simply what it does is it delivers the message M to a node whose globally unique identifier, or GUID, is closest to G. And the precise definition of closeness is left up to the underlying implementation. So for example, you could use Cord or Pastry or Bamboo as your underlying distributed directory server. I should mention that we want GUIDs to be dispersed and look random. So each node calculates its own GUID by taking a cryptographic hash, for example, SHA-1, of its IP and port concatenated with its port address. So Veracity is actually two security mechanisms wrapped in one. It's a two-phase protocol. And the first phase is called publisher coordinate verification. And publisher coordinate verification rejects inconsistent and inaccurate coordinates. It turns out that's not necessarily sufficient to protect the security of the underlying coordinate system, because a publisher's coordinate may be verified, but then they may delay the subsequent RTT measurement. So there's also a second phase called candidate coordinate verification, which is a little bit of a tongue twister. What candidate coordinate verification does is it prevents delayed measurements after the coordinate passes the first phase. So let's start off with a publisher, shown on the right, who updates its coordinate. It decides that it's going to, it assigns itself a new coordinate based on the underlying coordinate system. So the first thing the publisher does is that it computes its verification set, which I'm going to call a VSET. And it computes its VSET by choosing the peers whose GUIDs are closest to the hash of its GUID applied multiple times. So, for example, in this case, we may find out that the publisher who, I don't know why he disappeared, that's an open office problem, realizes that these three nodes are his VSET. So in the second stage of the protocol, he is going to send his GUID and his new coordinate to each VSET member via the deliver call. So essentially all he's doing is he's figuring out who his verification set is, and he's informing his verification set of what his new coordinate is. So at this point, each VSET member knows about the new publisher's coordinate, and it's up to the VSET member to assess whether the publisher's coordinate is truthful. So the way that it does that is each VSET member measures the round-trip time between itself and the publisher, and it computes what's called the error ratio, which is simply the percentage difference between the empirical measurement that it conducted using ping, or some other possibly the application there. So the difference between the empirical measurement and the coordinate-based distance, which is shown in this formula below. And essentially, or intuitively, what this does is it indicates the VSET member's belief in whether the publisher's advertised coordinate is or isn't accurate. Obviously, if lower error ratios are better than higher error ratios. VSET members record in some local cache what the publisher's advertised coordinate was, in this case C, and their own personal belief in how accurate that coordinate is based on their own coordinate. So now suppose the investigator comes into the picture and he wants to use the publisher's coordinate. So the first thing he's going to do is he's going to query the publisher for his coordinate, and the publisher is going to return and say, my coordinate is C. Next, the investigator is going to determine the publisher's verification set. And it's important to note that the investigator doesn't ask the publisher to provide its verification set. Here, the investigator, or the security of the system is such, or results from the fact that the investigator is determining the verification set himself. Again, by using taking iterative hashes of the publisher's GUID. So the investigator requests evidence from the VSET members. And the VSET members return and say, OK, here's the publisher's coordinate. It's C. And here is how accurate I believe the coordinate actually is. And the first thing that the investigator does is check whether or not that he's getting back the same coordinate from all of the VSET members. And of course, if he gets back different coordinates, then that means that the publisher advertised inconsistent coordinates to the members of his VSET. Then the publisher counts the number of tuples having an error ratio that's below some threshold. And if there's enough supporting evidence that meets that criteria, then the coordinate is accepted. Otherwise, it's discarded and never used. So what does publisher coordinate verification do? It ensures two things. First, it ensures that the publisher must advertise a consistent coordinate to all of its VSET members. Otherwise, it's going to be immediately discernible to the investigator that that's not the case. Second, it ensures that the publisher's coordinate needs to be accurate as measured by a bunch of VSET members. And again, the publisher really has very little control over who are the members of its VSET. So it turns out that this actually isn't sufficient to provide a virtual coordinate, to protect a virtual coordinate system, as I hinted at earlier. So suppose you have the case where the publisher behaves honestly, and he allows the coordinate to pass this first stage, the publisher coordinate verification stage. Then, in other words, he accepts the publisher's coordinate of 6, 2, and then he wants to update his own coordinate, so he takes a measurement. So while the true latency between them may be 13 milliseconds, at this point, the publisher can delay the probe, for example, for 2 seconds, in which case the investigator is going to think that it's way too close to this verified coordinate, and it's going to move itself or assign itself a very far-off coordinate, and that's no good. So we need to protect against that, and the way we protect against that is introducing Veracity's second stage, or second phase, which we call candidate coordinate verification. And this phase only occurs after the publisher coordinate verification phase passes. So the way this works is the investigator selects a set of random nodes, and it queries the coordinates of these random nodes. And we're going to call these random nodes that the investigator chooses the R set, the random set. The investigator then conducts a round-trip time measurement to each R set member. And then it computes, using the algorithm specified in the underlying coordinate system, a new coordinate C prime using the verified coordinate, the coordinate that it just previously verified. So the investigator has two coordinates. It has its current coordinate C and its new candidate coordinate C prime based on the publisher's verified coordinate. And then simply it computes two error ratios based on the R sets. So it's summing up the error ratios for all of the R set members based on the new coordinate C, the old coordinate C and its new coordinate C prime. And it compares the error ratio. And if the error ratio increases with respect to this random set by a significant amount, then it's going to throw out the new coordinate and keep its own coordinate. Otherwise, it'll update its coordinate with C prime. So again, this is a second verification stage that verifies that this distance measurement that it's conducting with the publisher is accurate. So how well does this system work in practice? So first, it's useful to examine how well this system works in the absence of attack. So we implemented our Veracity system on top of the Bamboo DHT. We chose Bamboo for a number of reasons. It's open source, it resists churn, and it has an already built-in Vivaldi implementation. I should also mention that we kept the R set and V set sizes fixed at 7, so each coordinate is verified by a set of 7 nodes, 7 nodes in the V set and 7 nodes in the R set. And the first thing we did is we looked at how well the system works in the common case when there actually is no attack. So here, we plot a graph showing the CDF of the error ratio after the system stabilizes. And what you'll find is that the CDF looks exactly the same or near exactly the same for both Vivaldi without any protection system and Vivaldi with Veracity layered on top of it. So there is a modest increase in the, for example, the median of median error ratios by about 4.6%, which turns out to be quite negligible when looking at these at internet latencies, which because it corresponds to less than 1 millisecond of accuracy that you lose by using Veracity. So how well does our system respond to attack? Turns out it responds fairly well. So suppose that you have an attacker who controls 30% of the network, and the attacker does the following two things. First, it randomly delays round-trip time probes by up to 2 seconds, and it advertises false coordinates. Now, it's a smart attacker because it knows that Veracity is taking place, so it does the smart thing. It doesn't make up a false coordinate every time it's asked because that would be immediately discernible by VSET members that it's advertising inconsistent coordinates. Instead, what it does is it makes up a false coordinate and it advertises that same false coordinate to all of the VSET members. And additionally, all the 30% of the network that's malicious all cooperates with each other. The malicious nodes participate in the protocol, or they cheat the protocol by doing the following. Whenever they're asked to provide evidence for other malicious nodes, they provide very low error ratios, indicating that its fellow malicious node should be trustworthy. But whenever it's asked to provide evidence for honest nodes, it doesn't provide any evidence, which is viewed as don't trust this node at all. And what we find looking at the graph, for example, if you look at Vivaldi without any protection compared to this line on the left with Vivaldi without any attack, the The fact that 30% of your network is malicious heavily impacts the accuracy of your system. On the other hand, when you're layering veracity on top of it, which are these two lines right here, for the vast majority of the nodes, there's a very little performance or accuracy hit, despite the fact that nearly a third of your network is malicious. So we consider this fairly good results. You might note that for about 10% of the nodes, the news isn't so good, and that's because of the fact that with 30% of the network infected or misbehaving, there are some VSETs which just happen to be stacked by malicious nodes, which cause an honest node's coordinate never to be verified. We also deployed our system on PlanetLab. I was impressed that you were able to get 600 PlanetLab nodes. We were only able to get 100 PlanetLab nodes. But we tried to make them geographically diverse, and we used the same Bamboo code base. And what we found is that when you increase the percentage of malicious nodes, unsurprisingly, Veracity or Vivaldi without any protection has poor performance in the system error ratio, meaning the median of the median error ratios goes skyrocketing upward, whereas when you layer Veracity on top of that, the performance of the system or the accuracy of the system is protected. So obviously, we have a major communication overhead with using Veracity, because the publisher coordinate verification and the candidate coordinate verification both impose this increase in communication cost, which is relative to the size of your VSET and your RSET. Fortunately, each message is being sent using a DHT or this deliver messaging API, and the cost of that API call is grows logarithmically with the size of the network, which is a nice feature. So on the left graph, we can measure the bandwidth overhead of using Veracity relative to Vivaldi, and using that information, we can conduct a logarithmic regression analysis to estimate what is the bandwidth overhead or the communication cost for much larger networks. So what we found is our current implementation, which is by no means optimized, requires about 35 kilobytes of bandwidth per second for very large networks of 100,000 nodes. I should mention that Bamboo sends messages via Java serialization communication protocols, and we've made no effort whatsoever to use kind of smarter communication messages. So I imagine that by being smart about communication and perhaps leveraging compression, we can cause the communication cost to decrease by probably a factor of 10 or more. So in summary, what I hope that I've convinced you is that Veracity effectively mitigates disorder attacks. So in particular, compared when a third of the network is malicious and nodes don't coordinate their attack, the error ratio is reduced by 88% over Vivaldi without any protection. And even when attackers coordinate their attacks, Veracity reduces the error ratio by as much as 70%. Still, in a third of the network is malicious. So unlike existing approaches, Veracity has a number of advantages. Again, we aimed our system to scale to internet scale. We don't rely on any triangle inequality violation assumptions, because TIVs do exist on the internet. We don't require any centralized infrastructure. We leverage coordinate systems and distributed hash tables. We don't require any a priori trust. There's no PKI. There's no shared secrets. And we argue that the communication overheads of our system are minimal, and Vivaldi can therefore be practically deployed on the internet. So with that, I thank you very much, and I'll take your questions.
Well, I have a question.
Sure.
And actually, I want to start out by complimenting you on one of the things that I thought you did really well in your paper, which was separately evaluating your two mechanisms and showing that the sum of them was really substantially better than the than having them individually. Yeah, so I really liked this graph, and I thought that it was you know, something everybody should do.
Okay, thank you.
So my question is about the attacker models that you consider.
Sure.
So looked through the paper, and it seemed like it considered lots of attacker, or it considered all the attacker models I was aware of having been proposed in previous work, but it seems very difficult in this kind of setting to really kind of thoroughly explore the attacker model because, well, just to pick one example, you look at something where, say, the malicious nodes vouch for each other's coordinates and then randomly delay probes from the honest nodes. And I was left wondering, well, is random delay really the worst thing the attacker can do? I really wanted to hear your thoughts on what's our ability to characterize what is the worst attack that an attacker can carry out in this kind of coordinate system.
It's a very difficult problem. You know, like most security systems, it's really, you know, I can't come up here and say that our system is 100% secure against any conceivable attacker. So we did our, when we were designing the system, we certainly did our best to enumerate any possible attacks that were both listed in existing literature, and also we tried to come up with some new ones ourselves. But I unfortunately can't say with any certainty that there isn't an attack that we haven't thought of that makes our system less secure. What we found is that because we're leveraging two techniques, we kind of have, there are some attacks that work against one and not necessarily against the other, but by combining both of them, you have better performance. But in terms of coming up with kind of a formalism to show that that nothing an attacker can do can decrease the accuracy of the system when it's secured by veracity, is something that we certainly will look at or are looking at currently, but it's a very difficult problem and one that I don't have an easy solution to.
So I was wondering if just normal jitter in a wide area network is going to throw off veracity in any way. For example, legitimate nodes having differing views of a node just because they're widely distributed over your network.
Sure. So one of the things that we depend on is that the so a lot of that is actually handled by the underlying coordinate system. So these coordinate systems like Vivaldi and PIC and there are and Big Bang simulations and there are many other are built to handle some jitter. Now, one of the features of veracity is it makes no distinguishing. It doesn't distinguish between a coordinate system that's under attack and a coordinate system that just has where VSET members just aren't having very high confidence in the system. So we ran our implementation against several network data sets to kind of test against these types of things, and we found that our system behaves fairly well. One of the nice features of Veracity is it has quite a few knobs that you can use. So, for example, you can control how big your VSET, how many members of are in a VSET, and how many of those evidence tuples needs to be good in order to accept a coordinate. So by adjusting some knobs, you know, if nothing ever happens in your coordinate system because all of the coordinates are rejected, you can tweak a few knobs to allow for more jitter in your network.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let's all get some coffee, but not before thanking the speaker one more time.
Thank you.